I'm Vincent Price. You're invited to my party in the house on Haunted Hill, where so far the ghosts have murdered only 7 people.
I'm going to go and get my hair weaved.
People identify with those monsters on a human level. They're just misunderstood.
It's going to be very hot, going to be very uncomfortable for everybody. Want anybody yelling? We get anybody yelling around here anymore today, and then the shit is going to hit the fan.
Jane was the quintessential teenager, just fucked up enough to be attractive, just fucked up enough to be interesting, too fucked up to work at Burger King or Coffee Time. Jane once said she liked that song by Jane's Addiction because it had her name in it. Jane always insisted that she dyed her hair blue because it reminded her of the ocean. If you got to know Jane well, though, you'd learn she'd never seen the ocean.
believe in the boogeyman.
Radio. The world's original all horror broadcast.
A secret laboratory, illegal experiments, and they finally found a new way for you to die.
Fiends and spleens, welcome to Reload Radio, welcome to the world's best damn horror show. I'm here whenever you fear, yes, that little voice swarming its way into your ear. It's me, your host, Toon Dragomir.
Part man, part fish, exactly like most people. There are times when he just wants to be left alone.
This week on the broadcast.
I was the guy just, you know, drawing monsters in a dark bedroom, you know, when I was a kid. And now people are starting to show an interest in the artwork and what we do here at Rue Morgue, you know. So I'm kind of rolling with it.
Rue Morgue's art director / big TV star, ghoulish Gary Pullen joins us. Oh, yeah. Our blood spattered guide digs up the 60s English rock group, The Zombies.
Why are zombies good at oral sex? I don't know. Because they'll eat anything you put in front of them.
And the caustic critics are taking on Rituals.
Rituals isn't a picnic. You're in for a big surprise.
Terror tunes on tap from Werewolf Syndrome. We've got Haunted George, The Crypt Club, Anima Morte, and tons more fun to come on your home for all horror, rot, and roll, Rue Morgue. Let's go with a new tune from Forever Dead. New album out in August. It's Forever Dead on Rue Morgue Radio. Hey-ho, hey-ho, let's go!
In the Steven Spielberg movie, E.T., why is the alien brown? No reason. In Love Story, why do the two characters fall madly in love with each other? No reason. In Oliver Stone's JFK, why is the president suddenly assassinated by some stranger? No reason. In the excellent Chainsaw Massacre by Tobe Hooper, why don't we ever see the characters go to the bathroom or wash their hands like people do in real life? Once again, the answer is no reason. I could go on for hours with more examples. The list is endless. You probably never gave it a thought. But all great films, without exception, contain an important element of no reason. And you know why? Because life itself is filled with no reason.
Anima Marte, Contamination.
Ever British person to have lived. I have my theories, but I would love to hear yours.
Wow, that's a pretty big question. Well, I guess you have Churchill, maybe. Richard the Lionheart, Isambard K. Brunel, John Lennon, maybe. There's William Shakespeare. I don't know. It's a fascinating question. I could go on and on.
Good answers. Very good answers. You know, Sebastian, I love Britain. I was there briefly in the 70s, and my only regret was not being able to stay for your Queen's Jubilee. Queen Elizabeth, what an amazing woman!
She certainly is.
Ooh, the home of Marmite and Ovaltine, HB sauce and Lee and Perrins, Cadbury's chocolates and Polo mints, German scones, James Bond and Aston Martin, Miss Moneypenny. Oh, what a little minx! Oh, Manchester United, Liverpool Football Club, and Kevin Keegan, Red Rum, what a horse, Lord Cricket Ground, Brands Hatch, Wembley Stadium, the National Gallery and the V&A Museum, the Royal Abattoir, ah, Monty Python and the Goonies. Such happy memories, Sebastian. Such happy memories.
All right. Just stop the f***ing spitting.
All right, so first of all, what is the state of the Church of Satan?
I was going to ask you about Wes Craven, and now I'm ashamed to.
Les Messman style.
Possibly the Antichrist.
Like a zombie character on Sesame Street. All of a sudden, it seems so irrelevant. Continue.
I speak nothing but the fucking English language. And if that's infamous, then
tough titters.
All right, this is Feedback, and I'd like to welcome to the Roomorg studio of Death and Dismemberment, the one and only Mr. Gary Pullen, the Roomorg art director. How are you, Gary?
I'm doing well, thanks.
So, recently on Space TV, we just saw this weird little program called Fanboy Confessional, featuring you, your mom, your dad, your wife, everyone you know, private photographs from your wedding.
Yes.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
Private details from your home life exposed for all to see on television.
Yeah, you know, I mean...
Why did you do that?
You know what? I don't know. Actually, Lisa Ledesser hooked me up with that, and she recommended that these guys are really, really good guys. And normally I am vehemently against exposing myself publicly like that. But I really liked the filmmakers when I met them, and it was more of a documentary thing than a reality thing. So right. I like that.
And plus there are certain upsides to that kind of exposure.
Yeah, I think, I was doing it for my artwork, and that's what I want everyone to see in the end is the artwork.
Mm-hmm. Will it air again?
I'm sure it will. I mean, if it's anything like the Roomorg Space doc that they did, it'll probably air again by around Halloween, I would imagine.
So what's your family think now that they've seen it?
Well, you know, my mom and dad are just so supportive.
You're so embarrassed. I love this.
You know, I'm not used to this kind of exposure.
You weren't prepared for this.
I was the guy...
And in fact, let's be honest, I didn't see the episode. You sent me the episode
before the interview. I thought you should see it.
So you could have got away.
Yeah, you're right. I could have got away with it. But you're going to see it eventually anyway.
Right.
But, I was the guy just, you know, drawing monsters in a dark bedroom, you know, when I was a kid. And now... You know, that people are starting to show an interest in the artwork and what we do here at Roomorg, you know. So I'm kind of rolling with it.
Yeah. But your mom and dad look pleased. Big grins on their faces.
I do have to say, they spelt my mom's name wrong. It's Marie, everybody. But okay. That's okay.
All right. All right. Well, I'm holding an advance reading copy of a little tome called The Encyclopedia Gothica, by Roomorg Radio's very own Lisa Ladouceur, featuring illustrations by Gary Pullen. So tell me, what is the Encyclopedia Gothica, and what did you have to do with this?
Well, it's Lisa's first book, and it's really her book, and she hired me for the illustrations, and I was really, really pleased that she did it. I got to channel my inner Ed Gorey, and...
I thought you were going to say for a second I got to channel my inner goth girl teen, but I'm glad you went with the Ed Gorey.
No, I do that on Sunday nights.
My new name is Ravencrow Never Smiles. Cool!
But...
Well, you do that on Space TV for all to see.
Right. That's right. Season 2.
Another influence on Gary was the classic low-budget TV series Hilarious House of Frightenstein. Gary's fondness for the show inspired him to design the ultimate tribute, a set of Canadian postage stamps. But don't expect to be licking the back of Billy Van's head anytime soon.
Anyway, so, yeah, the Encyclopedia Gothica is just something that, I really enjoyed doing with Lisa, and it answers the question, what is goth, what it is to be goth.
The darker aesthetics of fashion, music, the arts.
I'm not particularly goth myself, but I think I've earned some major goth points for illustrating a goth book.
Who needs that Ken and Barbie love anyway? Everyone's just walking around like a bunch of conformists. Go ahead and wear your business suit so you can make $34,000 a year and buy your condominium. They're all zombies racing to their graves. Love didn't work for my mom and dad. Why should it work for me?
So it is an encyclopedia, and you've taken the various letters of the alphabet and done these, like, gothic, Gary Pullen-esque illustrations. Do you ever feel like you're ripping yourself off?
Not really. Okay. I feel like I'm ripping other people off.
But so you've done illustrations for each one of the letters.
Yes, yeah.
So all the things, like, for instance, B, you have Bar House.
That's right.
First of all, what's that got to do with goth?
I have no idea. The little goose is dead. I said I wasn't a goth person, so Bauhaus, goth.
So, was that up to you, or were you told it won't be as Bauhaus, give me something? Or...
You know what? Actually, Lisa gave me really a lot of creative freedom. So, okay. There were sometimes, like, Bauhaus is actually a good example where I was like, I was actually going to do Countess Bathory. Okay. But, you know, I was having a hard time finding some reference and whatnot. So I asked her. You know, it's what's another good B word? And she said, how about Bauhaus? They're very iconic. So a lot of the times I would just send her a letter and say, is this okay? Is this iconic to the right. culture? And she would basically say yes or no. And I, honestly, she basically gave me creative freedom. It was right. just an absolute pleasure.
And when does this one come out?
That comes out in the fall by ECW Press. And we're going to have a book launch October 4th, and I believe you can hold me to that date, even though it's this early, because we've been planning. Lisa's planning a party, a book launch party. So,
okay. Yeah. I'm glad to see for P you have Vincent Price.
Of course.
Well done.
I'm going to give the people what they want. Sensation, horror, shock. Send them out in the streets to tell their friends how wonderful it is to be scared to death.
So another project you did recently were all the illustrations for the Tales from Beyond the Pale radio series, hosted by Larry Fessenden and produced by Glenn McQuaid and Larry Fessenden and the Glass Eye Picks guys. Tell me what that was like, and when is that coming out?
Well, we're working on a box set of the episodes, and it's a compilation, two episodes on each disc, and there's five discs, and it is encased in a really classy packaging, a box, and I'm not sure when that's coming out, but we're just sending that to the printers as we speak. So it's been another great process working with the guys from Glass Eye Picks, and yeah, I'm glad to see that, you know, they'll be available in a disc form with new artwork and whatnot.
And I have to say, I think it's some of the best work that you've done.
Well, thanks very much.
As I recall from my notes, Subject 3's biggest fascination was zombie eyes. It's a common delusion associated with psychopathy and indicates a 78% chance of homicidal mania. Okay, he's pulling up now. Looks like he's driving his dad's 15-year-old Mercedes. He's checking himself out in the rearview mirror. His mom must have ironed his shirt and tie. They don't match, but they're clean. Here he comes.
Tell me what that was like, because this is a different kind of work for you, I think, professionally, where there's a narrative component, a very strong narrative component to the illustration.
Well, it was really good. They would basically supply me with a script. The tales hadn't been recorded yet, so mm-hmm. I would read the scripts, do some doodles, send it over to the guys, and they'd come back with maybe a couple of notes or maybe just say, yeah, go for it. And I really like that process of just focusing on illustration and having the image tell a story. And it was just a really great experience.
Were there certain illustrators that you used as reference points?
Yeah, like Ghastly Graham Ingalls. I mean, all the guys from the Tales from the Crypt comic books.
All right, this show is actually part of my ongoing campaign to convince some of our American listeners to make their way up to Canada for the Festival of Fear. And one of the people who will be there as a guest is you, correct? You have your own booth?
I have my own booth, yeah, in the Rumor Hub. And yeah, it's always amazing meeting the readers of the magazine and horror fans. And yeah, so come and see me. Say boo at my booth.
Boo! And other than being there yourself, who are you looking forward to at the Festival of Fear?
I'm really looking forward to Michael Rooker. you know, just Henry, he's Henry. Right. I can't look at him the same way ever again. Yeah. But he's just an excellent actor, and The Walking Dead was a fantastic television series. So
says you.
Oh, really? I didn't like it.
Let's move on.
That's a whole other conversation.
You heard me, bitch. You got a problem? Bring it on if you're man enough. Or take it up the chain if you're pussy. You heard me, yeah. Pussy ass, non-com bitch. You ain't deaf. Take it up the damn chain of command, or you can kiss my lily white eyes.
I thought he was good, and, you know, Michael Rooker, yeah, him and John Waters, of course. You know, he's sort of like our wild card guest. I'm looking forward to meeting him, too.
And what about Freddy? Because as it's
Robert
revealed
Unland, yeah.
in the Space TV docs, see, I know all this stuff, strange stuff about you.
I know.
You made a Freddy glove in shop class when you were a kid, and you got in trouble, and they called your mom in. Your mom said, what's the deal? Have you never seen A Nightmare on Elm Street show before?
Wow. You know, I thought people would watch that and then just forget about it the next minute and just go on to eating their popcorn, but I guess not.
The principal of his high school didn't quite understand when Gary made a Freddy Krueger glove in shop class. He confiscated it and called Gary's mother.
She looked at it and said, have you guys never seen the Nightmare on Elm Street films? You don't know who Freddy Krueger is? She didn't have any of it. She said, give him the glove back. He made it. You know, it's a piece of artwork. And sure enough, I got the glove back. Otherwise, I still would have had it.
I'm sure there's been better Freddy gloves made since then, but... You know, yeah, Robert, I'm dying to see his Q&A because he's kind of a showman, and, you know, he was definitely a favorite of mine when I was a kid, you know, Freddy and Jason, and I'm looking forward to meeting him, too.
For more about Gary Pullen, visit his website at www.ghoulishgary.com.
My dad is such an asshole. Drunken bastard doesn't even know I exist. But then he won't let me go to the Skinny Puppy concert because my heroin addict aunt is coming over for dinner. Dinner? That's a laugh. Just an excuse for my mom to fidget me for not wearing girly clothes like all the other Britney Spears wannabes at this school.
Hey, ho, have you heard of a show called Rumor Radio?
So here I go with my radio.
Tune in, turn on, drop dead.
All right, fiends, we got lots more show to go. It's going to be great. Yes, not the least of which, the Blood Spatter Guide to the Zombies. Here's a cut from Rumorg's Hymns from the House of Horror, Volume 2. Get it now. It's almost gone. Only available until July 31st. Go download it now.
You said load and down.
The Crypt Club crushed on Rumorg Radio.
Square with a bleeding heart tear. You can't get things right tonight. You'll be with me. Gonna light things down for you. You've got some work to do. Knots while you cut them loose. I'm so sick and tired, I feel lost. I'm growing slowly. I'm so broken down, I distrust them now. I'm so sick and tired, I feel crushed. I'm drowning slowly. I'm so broken down, I disgust myself. Does it really matter? Does it really matter? Take the smile while you cut me up inside. Tonight I'm feeling fine.
for Shannon because she knows what's going on in this wacky world of horror.
Warm out today. Warm yesterday. Even warmer today.
And just where might she be? Where might she be? She's right over here, right beside me. Hey, Shannon, what's happening?
Well, don't believe a thing that Toomes says. He's going around telling everybody that the heat wave is just because he's decided to leave his apartment for once. Maybe I kind of believe that. It's a good thing he got out. Hey, everybody, I'm Shannon, and I've got what's happening horror-wise from around the world. Flashback Weekend, Chicago's longest-running horror convention, returns to the Rosemont Crown Plaza Hotel August 12th to the 14th. Celebrity guests include Robert Englund, Malcolm McDowell, Lance Henriksen, Sid Haig, and a whole lot more, as well as parties, contests, and the Midwest premiere of Chicago written and produced horror comedy, The Mole Man of Belmont Avenue. For details and tickets, visit flashbackweekend.com. Horse Trade and Radio Theater present the second H.P. Lovecraft Festival for a limited time only. You can see The Reanimator and Call of Cthulhu on stage. Tickets now on sale. Special e-blast offer, 15 bones with code HP. And the Festival of Fear is back again August 25th to the 28th at the Metro Convention Center in Toronto. Special guests include Robert Englund and John Waters. There's a whole host of off-site events as well. And of course, it's probably the best convention that you will ever attend. For ticket prices, a list of guests, and more events, just go to rue-morgue.com. And if you know something that's happening horror-wise, you want the whole world to know about it, just send me an email, Shannon at rue-morgue.com.
Thanks, Shannon. You've never looked hotter. Yeah, no, I mean it, really. I can probably fry an egg on your forehead right now. Yeah. Stay tuned, fiends. We got more show coming up.
Did you really kill your mama?
What?
Did you really kill your mama?
I guess I did.
She must have treated you real bad.
She's a whore.
they got to do is follow those droppings, and pretty soon they're going to find that deer.
I ain't interrupting this, man.
What are you doing?
I don't want to see it again.
If God were a DJ, he'd be on this station.
Radio Rock.
Let's have a tune. I'm sick of this silence.
Lay it over there.
This is Bill Lustig, director of Maniac and Maniac Cop, coming to you from the Rue Morgue House of Horror, and you are listening to Rue Morgue Radio.
The night is my domain.
Hello, I'm Lisa LaDussard. I'm your blood-spattered guide to music on Rue Morgue Radio.
Now, I don't remember telling you lavender was my favorite color.
I'm in no mood for lesbian weirdness tonight, Pam.
Before we get into the segment this week, I have a bit of a warning. If you have small children in the room, perhaps a deeply religious friend has dropped by. You may want to cover their ears or send them out for a snack. Because I think what I'm about to say is slightly, no, most definitely, blasphemous.
Sacrilegious.
If you're a fan of the sexy vampire TV show True Blood, you probably already know this year's season premiere featured a brand new song from Nick Cave and Nico Case, a duet cover of a 1960s pop song called She's Not There. And I've been anticipating this for months since I first heard it was being recorded. I love both Nick and Nico. They are masters of the modern murder ballad, two of the most haunting voices in contemporary music. And the idea of them doing a song together for a vampire show was like just way too many good things all mixed up together, like the Reese's Pieces of dark rock and roll. But then I heard the song and I have to tell you, it's not great.
Her eyes are clear and bright.
You can send your hate mail to lisa@rue-morgue.com, but I don't think anyone is more disappointed than me that they seem to have slightly phoned it in. I mean, the producers gave the music a little swampified update, and I guess it suits the show in some regards, but something is missing more than just the she of the lyrics. The sort of dark spirit of the song seems missing, and I actually do prefer the original. So on this week's show, I want to talk about that song and the band that wrote it and made it famous back in 1964, a band with an interesting name, a band called The Zombies.
Back here live at the Waterfront Village with my friend, the zombie, Jonathan. You're looking good. Jonathan just got an awesome face paint job. What do you think?
I like turtles.
All right, you're great, zombie.
Now, the first thing to know about the Zombies is that they are not some kind of undead novelty group. They are not the Zombeatles or a horror punk band like we have now. They predate the brain-eating trend, in fact. Forming in 1961 in England, two former choir boys, Rod Argent and Colin Blunstone. And they played around a bit. They had a bunch of different friends in the band. Ultimately, they won a competition and a recording contract. And for that, they wrote this song called She's Not There. It was one of the first originals that they ever composed. It went out into the universe, to radio, and became a number one smash in America and at home. The label released a whole whack of other songs from the Zombies. None of them really caught fire, maybe because the group was always a little bit odd, a little bit off, like writing a song, a love song to a girl who's in prison, written as a pop ditty. They never were quite, you know, mainstream. And She's Not There, even though it was a number one smash, is a little bit eerie. A little bit strange. There's the sense that this girl who has wronged the singer, who is not there anymore, this mysterious lady has taken something away, taken something of him. He sounds vocally like a ghost himself, like possibly gone insane a little bit by what's gone down. And the electric piano, which you hear in the song, was rare for the time. It gave it an edge that you would not have heard otherwise very often in 1964. The band ultimately broke up, and what's funny is after they broke up, they had a huge hit called Time of the Season.
It's the time of the season, when love runs high, in this time, give it to me easy, and let me try with pleasured hands. Take you in the sun to promised lands, to show you everyone. It's the time of the season for love.
And a bunch of people tried to get them back together, reunite for a tour, make some money. The band wasn't interested. So in the States, some unscrupulous folk put together Zombie Imposter Bands.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yes, they would put this band on the road and they would build them as the Zombies and they would show up and they would play Zombies covers, not one original member of the group. Now, in the pre-internet era, this was kind of hard to really know for sure what was going on, but fans of the band who went to see these shows, they knew that they had been duped. Now, since then, they have officially now reunited. They have recorded a new record. It is very adult contemporary pop, like, it's hard to recommend.
Later tonight, we can go to the river, watch the sun go down, catch a little music and fly it, let our hearts flow with pride.
But if you're looking for the definitive version of She's Not There, it's not really the Nico Case Nick Cave duet. It's not the version by Vanilla Fudge or the UK Subs or Tim Curry. It's the original real deal from 1964. So that's what we'll play you today. This is The Zombies on Rue Morgue Radio with She's Not There.
Well, no one told me about her, the way she lied. Well, no one told me about her, many people cried. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care?
Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she acted, the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there. No one told me about her. What could I do? Well, no one told me about her, though they all knew. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she acted, the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise.
This animal has only been dead for a couple of hours.
Look, Harry, somebody's playing a very sick game with us, and I want to know who, and I want to know why.
If you go down in the woods today, you better go in disguise.
It was dead, Harry.
Was it a man?
The Plastic Critic.
Controversial, unrelenting, it's brutal, it's nasty,
sensational.
The worst of the worst.
Offend everyone equally.
Bowling.
They're real.
This stuff shit scrapes off the bottom of its shoes.
They're mean.
So what was the actor's name?
Oh God, what a plank he is.
They're here.
Are you ready? It's time for the Plastic Critic.
They're here.
All right, this is feedback.
And this is the most excited Last Chance Lance you're ever going to hear. Don't I sound excited?
I don't believe it.
No, I am totally excited, buddy. This is going to be the best Caustic Critics we've ever, ever, ever done. Because we're doing one of my favorite movies in the whole wide world.
We already did Red Riding Hood. What are you talking about?
My second favorite movie then. No, this is my favorite movie.
And what is that?
Rituals.
Okay. Why?
Why, man? I'll tell you. You know, there's very few moments in your life you remember from your childhood that had an influence on what you've become. I could remember...
Well, if you have a bad memory, go on.
Oh, you just opened up a whole bunch of shit. No, but I remember hearing about this movie, hearing the trailers on the radio in my parents' car, and being freaked the fuck out by them. Both my sister and I would reach across the console to turn off the radio because we couldn't handle it. Just could not handle it. And right. I put off seeing this movie for so long and then finally saw it and I thought it was amazing. Still do.
It's mental.
Well, give us the history of this thing from its inception to its recent DVD release.
Well, here you have one of these great Canadian tax write-off movies, just a bunch of guys getting together, deciding to do a movie. A bit of a rip-off of Deliverance, which had done so well. So they decided to do the same kind of thing, make it Canadian, make it unashamedly, unabashedly Canadian.
Canada, our neighbor to the north. You may know them from those coins that don't work in vending machines.
It got filmed in 1976, had a great cast, including the fabulous Hal Holbrook, which, you know, lent a lot of credence to the production. Filmed in 1976, but unfortunately did not get released until 1978. Had a great box office in Canada, did fairly well in the United States, and then just was never heard of again. Never got to DVD release until now. I picked up a shitty VHS copy of it, which looked like it had been filmed right off the television set many, many years ago. And I can remember being like shaking when I put that thing into my VCR because it just brought back all these great memories.
And would you like to hazard a plot synopsis?
Oh, please, thank you. You've been so great to me today. I don't know what's going on. Okay, so here we've got five doctors who decide to get together and take a trip out into the wilderness of Northern Ontario.
Five doctors on their annual ritual, just trying to have a good time. But this is the year they should have stayed at home.
And they're going to get picked up 6 days later. They get out there. Everyone's kind of... some people are at each other's throat, but they're all good buddies. They wake up the next morning. Someone's stolen all their boots.
Somebody has stolen that boots!
Why would anyone steal five pairs of boots?
Get off it, DJ.
Look! 2 months ago, I sent everyone Xerox sheets of what I would supply and what you were to bring. You were to bring extra shoes and your toothbrush.
Now, they don't have any way of getting around, any way of contacting how to get back. That in itself is scary as fucking hell.
We're in the middle of nowhere, Mitzi. No one's gonna help us.
Why? Why is it happening to us?
One guy had an extra pair of shoes. He decides to make a trek, try to get to civilization to get some help. So the others decide to stay back, and all these terrible things start happening. They wake up, and there's like a deer head on a post right in the middle of their encampment. They have a bee's nest thrown amongst them.
That thing's never going to let us out of here.
They end up falling down a cliff. One guy drowns. It just gets worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. Turns out they're being stalked by this killer who had been...
Well, let's just say he has a reason to hate doctors.
Exactly. Okay,
let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. The scenes alone out in this Canadian wilderness, whether it's in like the deep forest or they come to an area that's been completely devastated by forest fire and they have to find this dam that they're heading to.
Is this a goddamn?
The set pieces in it are fabulous. The acting, Dane Lawrence, amazing. Hal Holbrook, outstanding. Most of these guys are Canadian actors that we've seen in movie after movie. A lot of them appeared in the Scanners movies. But just a fabulous movie.
Do you even care what I think about this?
You should care, because if you put this movie down in any way, short, shape, or form, I will kill you.
But okay.
On the radio. Like, this will be the evidence that they will use against
me. Well, here's the thing. I really hate this movie.
Oh!
No, I do.
Oh!
Honestly, it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
You suck mightily. I feel like getting up and walking out of here. However...
No, I'm gonna fucking...
Oh, okay. Man...
But I will say this, I saw this years ago on that same, probably that horrible VHS tape you're talking about, actually projected in the old Rue Morgue building when it was down on Queen Street.
I didn't think you were with us back then.
Yeah, I was.
Wow.
Believe it or not.
You didn't get any better. Yeah, well, that would have been a way to see it.
True.
Yeah.
And it looked horrible.
Yeah.
It really looked horrible.
Well, I think we should add that if you do pick up this DVD... It still is in really bad condition.
Oh, it's
in horrible condition.
Shape.
And they even admit at the beginning of the movie, there's a little note that comes up saying that when they actually filmed the movie and when it was presented in the cinemas, there was a big problem with the last reel because it had been damaged by the lab.
Yeah, they say that on the DVD,
yeah, exactly.
But they're not telling the full truth. There's more than just that last reel that's a problem with this print on the DVD.
But that last reel is really murky. It looks smoky.
It is,
that.
But this whole print is just
this really
chewed.
Needs, yeah, it needs to be cleaned up big time. It needs to have like a someone like, you know, Midnight Legacy or one of those companies, take it, clean it up, and give it a definitive release.
So I just want to say quickly, my first viewing of it, I was largely indifferent. And a big part of the problem was I just wasn't enjoying the experience of watching this piece of crap VHS thing blown up on a screen.
Right.
It looked terrible. I definitely got into it way more this time.
Good.
But I think that part of my problem with the film is just the idea of going camping with a bunch of Jones is so horrendous to me that kind of environment, that kind of premise is aggravating. And I was literally, like, scratching myself the whole time because I'm, like, allergic to mosquitoes. You know, if there's, like, a group of six people and as soon as somebody says, oh, we won't get bit by mosquitoes here, by that point, I've already been bit six times. And then I get an allergic reaction and I have to live with those for a week. And each day they get itchier and itchier and itchier. So it's a commitment. So I was, like, phantom scratching myself watching it going, this is fucking horrendous. Before they got their shoes stolen, just the idea of going camping in the woods is enough to make me feel slightly nauseous. Wow. Especially with a bunch of knobhead men all trying to outdo each other with their machismo antics. Nothing is more tedious to me than that concept.
What I find interesting is that you've turned this seminal watershed moment in my life into something personal about you.
Way to go.
Go suck an egg.
So this is out now, finally, on Code Red DVD. It was supposed to come out ages ago. Rue Morgue ran a cover story on it. Great piece. John Bowen did it. That made me actually want to reevaluate the film when that came out. But finally, after some incredible delay, it is finally out on Code Red. Terrible print, but probably the best that you can
see
the
film. Best
you're
going to get for now.
All right, until next time, this is Feedback.
And this is Last Chance Lance. And remember, you'll never listen to the Teddy Bears Picnic song ever the same way again.
Rituals isn't a picnic. You're in for a big surprise.
If you go out in the woods today, be sure for a big surprise. If you go out in the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. Picnic time for teddy bears. The little teddy bears are having a lovely day today. Watch them catch them unaware and see them picnic on their holiday. See them gaily gad about. They love to play and shout. They never have any care. At 6 o'clock, their mummies and daddies will take them home to bed because they're tired little teddy bears.
Trout fishing in America. Way back there, we heard Haunted George, the tomb.
The foulest stenches in the air. The funk of 40,000 years. And grisly ghouls from every tomb, are closing in to seal your doom.
Thanks for tuning in and dropping dead with us. We've had some fun, but we gotta run.
Holy Jesus, jumping! Christmas shit!
You can follow the further adventures of Feedback and Last Chance Lance on the Rue-Morgue podcast at rue-morgue.com and check out my TV show Tomb TV on YouTube/Tomb Dragomir.
This is Sid Haig and I want my Tomb TV. Give it to me now or I'll kill you.
One more tune it is. Ringtone or Return of the Living Dead. Take your pick. It's Werewolf Syndrome. Thanks for tuning in, my friends. Until we meet again, adios.
Can I borrow your cell phone, telephone?
Why can't we see the air all around us? No reason. Why are we always thinking? No reason. Why do some people love sausages and other people hate sausages? No fucking reason.
Wow. You know, I thought people would watch that and then just forget about it the next minute and just go on to eating their popcorn, but I guess not.
Damn right.
And each day they get itchier and itchier and itchier. So it's a commitment.